Good evening, everyone. It's In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post, as we continue our Royal Ascot previews with a look ahead to the penultimate day. And we'll be getting excited about Friday, about a huge field of three-year-old sprinters, but one very, very talented filly, and a small field, to a certain extent, of very talented milers, but one very, very short price and very talented in the coronation in particular. Plenty of other chat as well, and a reflection on today's action. My name is Ross Briley. It is, as ever, live and interactive. So like, subscribe, get involved in the chat, open your windows, shout to people in the street. You there, what time is it? Tell them, it's 6:30, it's time for In The Know. I don't know, just get involved. Royal Ascot continues. With some good winners on the day, some good winners in the studio as well, and some very well punted handicap winners, and absolutely no evidence whatsoever of a monstrous track bias. Lovely stuff. But look, the money's been coming for these handicap winners. The near side's clearly been the favoured place to be. But despite all that, the feature races of the week have been an absolute treat. We've had some incredible finishes, Paul Keighley, and that's what you want from a Gold Cup. You want two horses, Hammer and Tongs, Mile Clear of the rest, and a big roar or a sigh, depending on which side you're on.
Yeah, absolutely superb race, wasn't it? It was brilliant, and it was like we said yesterday. You know, he doesn't have that much, his form isn't better than anything else, but he'll probably win.
Yep.
And he did, Scandinavia. He's tough as old boots, and, you know, he was behind for so much of the last furlong and a half, but I always thought it was inevitable he was just going to get there.
Yeah.
You know, mad race, brilliant race.
Yeah, and again, I mean, Trawlerman obviously ran an absolute stormer, but he'll be, 9 years old next year, even if he's still going.
He's still as good as he was, isn't he? I mean, they've pulled so far clear as the rest. He certainly hasn't deteriorated, has he?
No, but you kind of feel that this probably will be his last season at the top level, so it looks like Scandinavia's for the next 3 years.
Could be.
But never mind that. You tipped a 9-2 shots in big field handicaps.
I know,
mate.
What's going on? Yeah, I had 16-1 in the morning yesterday, Mezcal or at Declaration Point. But that's what's happened to a lot of horses, isn't it? There've been a lot of huge gambles going on. I mean, even Nola Soul that won the first, that was 14-1 on the first show. Just so many horses are getting well backed. Some of them are winning. There's plenty are getting really, really well backed and aren't winning.
True. But you only remember the ones who do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I can tell you, Reaching High went off 13-8, didn't it? And Cannes went off 7-2. They finished out with the washing, didn't they?
Yeah, fair point. And Weir Gooses was the odd one in the meet.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was again, smashed off the board. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think it'd stay. It was drawing the wrong place. I thought I was losing my mind. But anyway, joining us for the first time this week because he's been up early in his finery. But now he's back.
Have you missed me? Ross?
We have missed you. Did they allow you to take could you take that painting in with you to Ascot? Because they wouldn't recognise you otherwise, would they? You see, there's that Tom Siegel. There's not an oil painting behind his head.
People, actually, the funny thing is, Ross, after 30 years of tipping horses, no one comes up to me and says, what do you fancy there anymore? They all go, I love your podcast. I love your In The Know show. I thought that, that's nice, isn't it?
It is. It's like, you know, they've finally, you know, you're getting the... Because for years, all you've been is a few hundred words on a page with a smiling profile picture. Now we know the real Tom Siegel, the you know, it's like having a mini documentary every week. So people are really, you know, they feel like they live in your study, Tom.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad they do. It's good fun. No, I've been at Ascot every day. I really enjoyed it. I missed the Gold Cup. I have to come home to do this and work. Mm-hmm. So
such a hard life, Tom, isn't it?
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough at the top. Yeah, and so I missed the Gold Cup. I've just watched it now. You're right. What a great race that was. I love Trawler Man. God, if he'd had a prep run, what a race that would have been. It'd been, like Keel said, it just felt like Scandinavia was going to get him. But, you know, I spent the day watching Khan go from 12-1 into 7-2 and Jamestown go. I mean, it was like a million when I tipped it yesterday morning. Everyone seemed to tip it. It wasn't just me. Everyone around the world. And it was like 11-2, 5-1 after it just won a Dundalk maiden. I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, Keels is right. These gambles happen. You just got to be The funny thing is, as Keels will attest to, and you probably know as well, Ross, if you're not on the gamble and you're on one that drifts markedly in the morning, or you're in trouble then. You're in trouble then. If one of mine or Keels' horses goes on a massive walk, you know you're not winning.
Well, I mean, you say that, but you're the Owen horse that you tipped drifted out to 28th, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't understand that. But
probably the draw thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Probably no one realised that the draw was what it was, and it turned into a 5-horse race.
Well, they certainly
didn't
know that 2/3 of the jockeys were going to go to the wrong side.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
You know, and then it turns into a 5-horse race, and so it's, you know, I mean, it's like an absolutely incredible bet if you knew what in hindsight.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, that's probably the least trustworthy form of the meeting so far, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that is fair.
Exactly.
As for the rest, the Ribblesdale was an entertaining race. I thought it was going to be another Joseph O'Brien winner, as if he's just taken the King George V before that, and then almost won the Chesham with the debutante as well. I mean, again, not to bang the same drum repeatedly, Tom, but at this point, is there any need to do any form study and just look for what Joseph's running and where?
Yeah, and just tipping O'Brien, just backing O'Brien, it seems to be at Rascot these days. He's absolutely brilliant, isn't he? I mean, I've been banging his drum for many weeks now. I got a bit of abuse for saying I thought he was going to be better than his dad on another show recently. But I think he's well on the way there. I think he's brilliant. Ascot always is fantastic. Whether you win, lose or not, there's some tremendous performances. Earthshot, I thought, was really good. Another one for the trackers. Oh, my trackers keep winning, but whether I backed them or not, I don't know. But
let me ask you about that, Tom, because again, I do sometimes think that I'll think, oh, Tom, you know, Map of Stars, for example. I remember last year you were thinking this horse is a monster, and then I looked at the other day and I thought, God, he's better than this lot, isn't he? Surely Tom's tipped him. And again, and I guess it's that thing we've talked about before, where about forgiving horses to a certain extent. But you do pick out these horses quite a long way in advance. And then I will come to a race like this, and I think Tom's going to go for this because I know he likes him.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think I'm one thing I'm pretty good at is spotting a good horse without knowing the figures, just the way they move, the way they do things. I think you can spot them a mile away. A really good horse. They tend to run dead straight for starters. They put their head down, and you know, there's lots of things that I look for in a horse. The problem is getting them on the right day. Yeah. And as Keels will know, and you'll probably know, Ross, when you're doing our job, you don't have time to read. The Ribblesdale looked like a race. Oh, I haven't got great time to look at that one. It's an 8-runner race. I didn't really know what, you know what I mean. You've got 30 runners in this one, 30 runners in that one. You're doing podcast here, you're doing whatever.
Yeah.
So you're all over the shop. So some races you just don't have as much time to look at as others.
So would you say that you kind of do you end up getting sucked into the slightly thing where you think,
absolutely,
well, I'm going to go through the 20-runner handicap because I'll find one in there, and then almost kind of, oh yeah, I forgot Earthshot was running in that race because
a little bit.
Look at it. Yeah.
It's definitely a little bit like that. Yeah, I mean, you sort of think there's a good favourite in that, even though it wasn't. I mean, you want everyone. I think everyone wanted to take on Legacy Link, but you're sort of thinking, well, she's good, Earthshot. But did get beaten at Goodwood last time.
Yeah.
I really think she's good, but she wasn't a massive price.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? On what she'd actually achieved, she had a bit to find, but. You know, that's the way it goes. You know, Map of Stars had just run so badly last time for no apparent. And Francois Graffard had come out and said, I don't know what he's going to achieve today. But yes, it works in my favour plenty of times. Sometimes it doesn't. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting because, again, we don't, maybe we'll rattle on in just a second. But I think part of the thing is everyone has different ways of doing things. And I do think, like, you know, like you said, spotting a good horse sometimes. I mean, we do it all the time. And And you can go with some of these races, all the high draws, but so what do you do? Just not watch the races for weeks up in advance and just go, I'm just going to tip whatever's in box 30, I don't know. Or and then when you do that, you go, oh, well, that horse I've been following for God knows how long has gone and won from that other draw. So,
absolutely correct.
Yeah.
It's a tricky game. And Ascot, as you know, if you get a horse to run well, I mean, I had, I think, 4 horses finishing the frame today. I thought Ray Evka could have won on the first, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they run well, you've done a good job. It's getting them home is the hard thing.
Yeah.
You just need a bit of luck, don't you?
Yeah.
You just need things to drop in your lap. And that might well happen the next few days. Who knows? But what I'm saying is it's good. You can pinpoint the horses. Getting them home is the hard thing.
Yeah. I guess, but I like reading books or listening to podcasts or things about people's process, whatever it is. When people are good at things or they do things, you know, at a decent level, I always think, why do you make those decisions? I think that's quite interesting. And we don't have enough time to talk about that necessarily on the show, but it is interesting to see. Like to see the process behind. I mean, your process, Kiers, appears to be wake up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, I
go through 30 runner handicaps that give me a headache and pick out horses that at 16-1 that go off 9-2 and win. And genuinely, yeah. I don't know how you do that.
I've got no idea either, to be honest. I'm asleep most of the time, aren't I?
Maybe that's the
get
key.
Get up, have a study, go back to bed.
Do you switch off that bit of your brain?
I mean, I'm such a scatterbrain with everything else. I mean, absolutely everything else. I forget everything. So
yeah.
Basically, the only thing I'm interested in, to be honest.
Yeah, because all you can think of is horses, which is fair enough.
You didn't watch the football last night, Kiels?
I did watch the football last night, mate. Yes, I did, yes.
Yeah. What did you think as a non-football...
As a non-football person, it's the first time in years I've actually enjoyed watching England play. They usually bore you to tears, don't they?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought exactly the same. I thought,
I'd much rather they played like that every day and let in 3 goals a match and still won than, got boring 1-0s and all that.
Boring old Gareth Southgate stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, he did a great job. He took them to a final and a World Cup semi-final and whatever, but I'd much rather they played like that. That was fantastic to watch, wasn't it?
It was good to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But if we'd taken Cole Palmer, Phil Foden and Harry Maguire, we might have won 8-2. So... who knows? Anyway, look.
I haven't heard of any of them, you see. That's the problem.
That's why I made them up. Yeah, they don't exist. Yeah, yeah. right, let's crack on with Friday after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
There you go. The Edge, who's taken time off from his role with U2 to do the form study for you.
Yep, he's taken time off from writing number one hit singles to find out the going at Uttoxeter. Yep. Just for you.
Just for me. Yeah, I mean, he's doing form study. Bono's in goal for Morocco. They're all having a summer off. Anyway, right, let's crack on with tomorrow's racing, shall we? Again, Kiels is laughing, he's no idea what I'm talking about.
I have absolutely no idea, but I thought I'd sort of join in, make it look like I do.
The Albany Stakes kicks us off then, a Group 3 for the 2-year-olds at Fillies, and Sun Goddess is 6-5 favourite here, Silent Beauty 13-2, Light of Dawn 15-2, Joliet 9s, Libertango 9s, Dark Issue 14s, King's Prize 14s, and bigger prizes the rest, and there's a chap in the race post officers who's done cracking work on the tipping competition today by just tipping horses based on space-based winners. Enceladus, who's Jupiter's moon, or certainly one of the moons, Earthshot, Moonfall. It's an obvious Sun Goddess, Venetian Sun double tomorrow, Tom. But as a 2-year-old watcher yourself, I thought this was one of, if not the best Albany lineups I've seen in years. I've got 6 or 7 I've marked off with good numbers who won in good times in good races. That I thought that's an Albany filly, that's an Albany filly, that's an Albany filly, and they're all here. And yet we have a 6-5 favourite.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what I thought when I did it. Now we know why Sun Goddess is 6-5 is because Aidan O'Brien wins all the 2-year-old races, doesn't it? All the Group 2-year-old races. The listed ones, he tends to get beaten in, but the Group 2-year-old ones, he's won, and he could have easily run victorious, who we saw in win the Queen Mary in this one. So the fact that Sun Goddess has come here is obviously a tip in itself. She's by Sioux Nation. He has got a good record on the track. She's going to be hard to beat, but as you say, there's loads in there that have got good figures. I'm interested to hear what Kiel says about the draw, because if you watch today and yesterday's racing, I can't believe there's a bigger track bias anywhere in the country than Ascot these days. But I've been here on this day before, and it's all switched around. So I'm nervous to think to say that they're going to win up the Stans Rail again, because last year they didn't. The year before they didn't.
Yeah.
Although we were talking about this before.
We were talking about it earlier. Well, the first three flat races, straight track races on the straight course on the Friday, they won one by stalls 1, 2, and 1. But Ross reminded me that part of the reason for that is they shunned the Standside rail for some reason.
They didn't actually go down the middle. Rail.
And then when it came to the Palace of Holyrood House at the end, Drestia won from 24.
Yeah.
But so, she didn't go on the rail, though, did she?
She didn't go on the rail, no. But it was weird. No. They just decided not to race on the rail, which everybody wanted to be on. Maybe they thought it was too chewed up. I don't know chewed up fast ground can get. But
the Commonwealth, again, the Commonwealth Cup, Rayevka was, for example, last year was the only one to come down this near side in the Commonwealth Cup. But even then, she was too off the rail. Mm. And they specifically raced down, the high numbers raced down the middle. Now, the middle is the worst part of the track, Tom. So it wasn't that the high numbers weren't favoured. It's that, you know, they decided to... It's like they went to Lingfield and thought, Golden Highway's still over there, let's go to the other side.
Unless, of course, they considered or they thought that any bias had been watered out of it. There may have been a bit of watering the course and all that because...
Yeah, but even though, why did you get on the worst part of the track down the middle?
It hasn't looked like it today, but the going stick suggested it was going to be a lot closer today. It wasn't. But the going stick suggested it. It'll be interesting to see what they do again.
As a punter,
we'd all rather they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But it's not hugely unlikely that a little bit more goes on the stand side, is it?
Yeah. But like you said, Tom, what do you do? Do you just ignore it completely? I'm almost wary to bet at all on the straight track tomorrow because of that. It's got to the point now where that sort of tipping point in the week where just something weird is going to happen tomorrow, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm expecting. But, you know, you watch the last two races today and you sort of think, well, it's impossible for anyone to go up the far side, isn't it? They're miles behind. They're literally miles behind. But whether that's because the horses up there aren't the ones that are, you know, weird gooses, I suppose, was fancied in the Britannia. He finished last, but then I didn't really fancy Weird Gooses anyway. I don't know where that came from. So who knows what's going to happen? Anyway, enough of that. Let's go back. I think you're right. There's loads. Silent Beauty was really good at Yarmouth. Light of Dawn was good at Carlisle. The one I like is Jolly Vet. Just simply because we've seen these sort of races all week, and the classy, well-bred ones have come to the fore. Mm. They've beaten the sort of breezers, do you know what I mean? The breeze up horses, the Great Barrier Reef and Victorious. And there's not a better bred horse in this race than Jolly Vet, that's for sure. She's by Wooden Bassett out of Jovial, makes her half sister to Jonquil. And I thought she was really good on her debut at Newmarket. Now, she doesn't have much in hand over Topaz, who was finishing off fast that day. So I wouldn't rule out Topaz at a big price as well. But I just thought Jolly Vet was. I remember Andrew Balling having one that was backed off the boards to win the Queen Mary a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And got in all sorts of trouble. I can't remember what it was called, but I just thought Jolly Vet had the makings of a proper classy filly. And the reason I ended up on her as well was because in the Windsor Castle on Wednesday, I can't remember when it was. Wednesday, was it?
let's go with yes.
Andrew Balling ran a filly from stall 14 that ran her face off in the Windsor Castle and just got caught on the line by Joseph O'Brien's No Hoper, King Cloggan or whatever it was called. And I just think that Jolly Vet, I know Jolly Vet's a lot better than her. So I'm expecting Jolly Vet to run very well. She's a classy, well-bred filly from a brilliant family, from a top stable that wins top races. So she'd do for me, but I do think Liber Tango is another one that's got a very good chance as well. I liked her a lot. Newmarket, was it, Ross? You'll remember better than me.
Leicester.
Leicester.
Which is a very good track for a 2-year-old.
Absolutely. So as you say, I've mentioned four. You mean you've probably got more in there? Dark issue?
King's Prize was the first one off the conveyor belt when she went at Nottingham. I thought, finally, we've got a good 2-year-old. You know, a good 2-year-old time, and then suddenly they came. Yeah. They were knocking them down left, right, and centre. Yeah, Dark Issue was really good at Goodwood. Her and Pershala both very good for the Hannans. Pershala ran a blinder, finished fourth the other day. I mean, literally, the first seven in the betting there. Everything acclamation, King's Prize and below, everything has done a number on my speed figures that is more than good enough to win an Albany, and that's seven of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. I don't do those speed figures, and I don't know anything about them. I looked at this race, and I thought...
You thought some goddess would win?
I thought to myself, well, there's three handicaps on the cars, and there's four races with short price favourites. Do I really want to work that hard and try and find anything to get them? And I had a look, and I thought, well, look, Sun Goddess and Victorious, there was apparently very little between the two. They could have run in either, and look what Victorious did in the Queen Mary, and I thought, I'll park it there. Libertango was the one I liked the most, but, you know, I've had a couple of guesses in two-year-old races and I thought I'd give up, but I can't actually say that because I've already backed two for the Norfolk on Saturday. but I didn't like this race. I didn't fancy getting Sun Goddess beat, so I just thought I'll park it. It's more interesting races for me to bet on.
That's fair enough. And it's also worth noting that the Irish trainers have won all the two-year-old races so far this week, of course, and that the six-week good times from Britain are all up against Sun Goddess, who's possibly the best of the Ballydoyle bunch based on that win last time out. So, yeah, who knows? All right, that's the Albany Stakes then. Let's move on to the Commonwealth Cup, where we have an 11-8 favourite here, Venetian Sun, last year's Albany winner, of course. 6-1 is Albert Einstein, Division is 9s, Wise Approach is 10s, Charles Darwin is 12s, Coppola is 12s, Havana Anna 14s, Samangan is 16-1, and a big price, bigger prices, the rest, as you would expect, Mark. This 22-runner race, where, again, last year this race was won from Box 1 by Time for Sandals. The Albany is won from Box 1 by Venetian Sun. This year she's slap-bang down the middle. She ran perfectly well in the Guineas when clearly not getting home. And then, my word, she got home last time out at Haydock. But again, she's fantastic, Keels, but 11-8 in a big field sprint.
Sorry, but this is another one where I thought to myself, I think she was just weird. She blew me away at Haydock. I know Tom's got a much stronger opinion against that, so we'll pass it over to him shortly. But, she's shaped like a sprinter in the Guineas. She was absolutely superb at Haydock. She just suddenly breezed up on the bridle, won as she liked. Now, I know that was good to soft ground, but it was good to firm when she won the Albany last year, and she won that going away. So, you know, she's got course form, she's got an awful lot going for her, and I wasn't in a rush. If there was one I would back, possibly each way, it'd be Havana Anna for Donica O'Brien. Returning win in the Group 3 wasn't brilliant form, although she did stumble at the start, but at least she's come out and won. And they said they'd left a lot of work on, and you've got to remember she was only beaten 3/4 of a length by True Love when second in the Cheveley Park last year. So I think she'd have a chance each way. I think she's a fairly big price, but another one that I'm quite happy to let Venetian Sun win, and I'll probably have a tiny bet on Havana, but I won't be getting heavily involved.
All right, OK, fair enough. Venetian Sun 11-8. A couple of things worry me slightly, Tom. I mean, one is I just think that Haydock form over those few days is very suspect. I mean, she looked impressive, but there was a lot of horses that won held up at Haydock on that straight track that looked very impressive that have bombed out since. And the other thing is Carl Burke's horses, they're all run below par. You look at the Racing Post form, they're all sort of £5 below on RPRs or even worse to a certain extent. So I don't know, she's just very short.
You've put the words into my mouth, Ross. The also thing I would say is that I think her two best runs were when there was giving the ground. When she won the Morley, it was, and I know it wasn't soft by any stretch of measure, it was good, it was probably on the far side of good when she won the Morley. But she only had half a length in front of Wise Approach that day. When she won at Haydock, it was definitely soft. It was on the soft side. Colbert was all along since she won soft ground. I just don't... it's just too good to be true. I don't like too good to be true horses. I really don't. Everything looks like she's a superstar, and she might be. But this is a much, much stronger race. And she's 11-8 on totally different ground when the stable isn't, as you say, going so well. So, I'm very keen to take her on. I could easily be wrong, but I'm prepared to let her run at 11-8 every day of the week and going against her. I think there's loads you can make a case for. Once again, it's the draw could play a part. Who knows where they're going to go? I totally agree with Kiehl's Havana Anna. She ran a cracker in behind True Love, didn't she, in the Cheveley Park? She could go really well. The one I like is Samangan, the French horse, Francis Graffard. I just think the French, for years, me and Kiehl's probably sat in Rains Park and in Canary Wharf laughing at French sprinters, saying how rubbish they were. Now they are miles better than ours. Lazat, Sadier, Rayevka.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not because they've improved.
They've stood still.
I think the thing is that maybe what I'm saying is that those three horses, for example, are bred to be milers. They're bred to be classic horses,
yeah.
And so they've found their métier back at sprint trips because they didn't stay, obviously. But they are running against a whole bunch of rubbishly bred sprinters in this country and smashing them. So I'm interested in Samangan. He won two group races last year. He's had incredibly viable excuses for his two runs this season. Francois Graffard's horses were really sick when he ran well in the Trial de Gerbel or whatever it was. And then he went way too hard and was too keen in soft ground next time. He's by Blue Point. Blue Point has a fantastic record himself at Ascot, and all his horses that have run there this week have run, or a good few of them have run really well. He likes fast ground. Undoubtedly, he's going to improve for 6 furlong strong run fast ground. Problem is, he's drawn in the middle. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know where they're going to go. But he's drawn not far from Venetian Sun. He's not far from Albert. So I give him a good shot. He'd be my number one choice tonight. I've got to throw in my old pal Division as well. Now, he's in stall three, but Xanthos, who is a very fast filly, who is another one that's not out of this by any stretch of the match, she's in one. Mm. So I'm hoping there's pace up the far side. You know, we've seen horses win up there all week. You know, we have seen horses win on the straight track, the sprint trips from those sort of things. And I thought Division, I mean, he was on my radar for this. I think he was like 5-1 for this race after he ran in the trial here, where he got in, missed the break, switched across the track and nearly beat Cockle that day. And then he's gone to Haydock. And literally, as Ross says, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. He was in front. The ground was wrong. He got all the cover going from stall one or whatever he was. It just ran the race upside down. I think the exact opposite is going to happen this time. I think he's going to be held up for a late run. He could easily beat Venetian Sun on this ground at Ascot. I mean, Haggis horses have been running well all week. So I give Division and Samangan excellent chances, and I think Wise Approach is another one with a good chance too, simply because his form's there.
He's a memas.
But he's a memas. That was what I was going to come to. They never win. But he's had it. I mean, he nearly won, didn't he?
He has won there as well, hasn't he? Yeah,
he's won there. And A Day in Scarlet nearly won the Coventry, didn't it? So it'll happen one day. You know, Montjure could never win at Cheltenham until he did. And Memas will win. He's got too many horses. Too many annoyingly sprint bred horses for him not to win a race soon.
But partly that's part of the Memas thing. It's not just a random stat. It's that he was a very 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 fast horse, and like I said, it does take that bit of extra stamina. It's a stiff finish at Ascot. They go very quick. So like you said, you breed all loads of Memases and various similar types. They don't get home at Ascot. They might finish second or third, but there's always one that seems to get home stronger.
Yeah, one will fall in. It's like a golf tournament, though, Ross, isn't it? Eventually, you know, Tommy Fleetwood falls in, doesn't he? He doesn't want to win most of the time, but when someone else gets out the way for him, he might fall in. That might
happen. Is it Zverev that won the French Open the other day? Yeah. That kind of thing.
Exactly. They can fall in. So one will fall in, and it could be Wise Approach. But I think it's much more open. Now the question is, what do you think, Ross? Do you think I'm right, or do you think I'm barking up the wrong tree?
I saw the price collapse on Samangan, after I studied this race, and I thought, what price is he? And I thought, crikey, he's coming. And I thought, I know someone who will agree with me as well. I mean, Graffard's horses this week. We said it last night. Rayevka, Map of Stars. You know, even Darry's, who ran below form, still finished third in a Group One. Gilda Prize ran a blinder. He's just absolutely mustered at picking the right horses for these races, isn't he? Like you said, pedigree, just everything. You can make viable excuses for his two defeats. He won three on the bounce and then didn't quite get home as strongly over seven and got stuck in the mud last time out. But he's just going to run a big race, isn't he?
That's what I think.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I hope you're right. I mean, it was 33-1 when I started looking at this race, and I hadn't really looked at. I hate the Commonwealth Cup, as you well know. It's a sprint,
yeah.
So it's not really my race. But I was looking. I just couldn't believe he was a 33-1 shot. I just couldn't believe it.
And the only reason I'm looking at the race is just, I just think, like I said, like you said, every time someone says, "Oh, this horse just wins, doesn't it? She'll win this next time out." I think, well, yeah. If everyone's being that dismissive, you've got to look at the race. The only other one I would, and again, I don't think he'll win. But I do think Havana Hurricane will run a big race because he just always, always does. His only time he's finished out the four was at Newmarket, where I don't think he handled the undulations. But if you fancy Song of the Clyde and Albert Einstein, based on that Newbury run last time out, you've got to fancy Havana Hurricane, who was the only one to make up ground from the back. So,
I don't think you can fancy either of them on that race. I thought it was rubbish.
Well, no. Yeah, and I know what you mean, but I would rather back him at... What price is he? 25s? 33s?
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. But
anyway, look, that's the Commonwealth Cup. It's a race where Keel thinks the favourite will win. Me and Tom don't like it. But that's an extensive preview for you. The Duke of Edinburgh Stakes is up next. A mile and a half we go. A very different proposition entirely. Warrant holder, Hopewell Rock and Opportunity are 9-2, 9-2 and 9-2. Emit is 13-2. Mondo Man is 9s. Plage de Havre is 9s as well. Nighttime Dancer 14s with French Duke. And over the past couple of years, it's become a slightly different race. It used to be very wide drawn, unexposed types that would win it. Last couple of 3 years, it's changed completely. And the main thing that's changed is that Irish trainers have started targeting a lot more. And again, Keels, I looked at this race and
thought... It's almost getting like Cheltenham, isn't it?
It's getting like Cheltenham. And I thought, Joseph O'Brien's got two horses in here who've got absolutely blinding chances in Emit and Mondo Man.
Yeah, I'm very close to going for Emit, and I just kept looking, and I know I was looking at past results, and I thought, crikey, this is another handicap that goes to fancy runners very, very often, and I've still ended up coming down on two outsiders. I don't know whether that's
that's just your nature,
the contrarian
isn't it?
In me, or what. The last winning outsider was Scarlet Dragon, trained by Alan King, and I know Insanity hasn't got the best draw, but I actually do quite like his chance. He's a very, very consistent horse. In the first two, 9 times in 16 starts on turf. In the first three, every time he's run at Ascot, I thought he ran as well as ever when he was second to Have Secret at Pontefract on his return over 10 furlongs. He was obviously just touched off in a 100 grand handicap at York last year over this trip. And he was fourth to Dacre Bay and Gamroy at Newmarket on his return. That's my other tip coming, sorry.
Yeah.
I've given that one away. But no, a few years ago, Alan King had, I think he had five runners at the meeting, and they finished 1-1, 2-1, 5, and the fifth was 40-1. And when he goes into the meeting and his stable is absolutely purring, which it was, right, they all tend to run well. He's had two runners so far. He's won he won with Dacre Bay, and he had Barnso fourth at 40-1 Ascot Stakes. So I just think Insanity
is going to... a hurdle of Bolt up by 5 lengths at Worcester.
You know, horses run above themselves when the stables are going well, don't they? And I just think I think he can get in the frame. And Nighttime Dance was the other one. Richard Hannon. Again, Richard Hannon hasn't had a winner this week yet. But, I mean, his horses are running really, really well. He's had the fourth in the Coventry, the fifth in the Wolverton, the fourth in the Queen Mary. The sixth in the Windsor Castle, the third in the Chesham, the fifth in the Buckingham Palace. So, you know, loads of them are running really, really well. Nighttime Dancer, a massively highly tried horse last year, won his maiden, went for the Lingfield Derby Trial, then went for the Derby, then the Bahrain Trophy, then the Geoffrey Freer. He's actually ran fairly well in all of them. But he finished his season in the middle of August, and it was, you know, best part of 9 months before he'd had a run, and he came back and he finished fourth to Dacre Bay and Gamroy. He has got 3 lengths to find with Hopewell Rock. Hopewell Rock's 9-2 favourite. He's 18-1, was 20s. I think he's got a chance. Again, he's got stall 18 as well. A nice high draw if it goes that way. As we said, last three winners of this were drawn single figures. One of them came out of stall 4. Mm. But overall...
They're all Irish.
Irish as well, yeah. Overall, a big draw is... a high draw is an advantage. And I just thought it was another one that was going to run well at a price, and they persuaded me at their odds. I know I'm going up against some potentially very well handicapped horses there.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. But again, I mean, I thought, you know, I had Warrant Holder Tom. I thought he'll be a John Smith's Cup horse. I thought Opportunity's really, you know, really, really well handicapped horse, but he's drawn in box one, which is, you know, as much as you can win from a low draw. That one is a bit of a nightmare. We saw it with Legacy Link today. Hopewell Rock keeps getting back, and I guess the way that George Bowie's horses have gone this week, that one's not entirely surprising. But yeah, I don't know. I also didn't think it was the deepest of handicaps, unless you're going to tell me differently.
No, I thought it was rubbish, if truth be told. I think the round course races, apart from the King George we had today, have been pretty moderate this week. I thought the obviously the group races are different, but I thought the race on Tuesday, whenever it was, the was not very good either. The one won the Marlin Six Race Golden Gate. I can't remember what it's called. Copper Horse, one of those.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember that. That was very good. I think this is similar. I will probably row in with Keels. He's an outsider now. He's talked me into it. But this is the race I didn't look at, or didn't look at that much, because I thought it was thought it was a load of dead wood. Maybe I probably should have looked at Insanity closer, but it's not really my type of horse. That's more a Keels horse than me. And I thought Hopewell Rock had a really good chance and more at Holder. I just thought they had progression in them. But as you say, I mean, I think I'm Johnny Dineen's negative. And I'll tell you for why. One, I'm tall. One, he's got a bigger belly than me. Two, he doesn't like eating green things when I do. Thirdly, fourthly, he backs favourites, and I never back favourites. And fifthly, he says the straight track races at Ascot are impossible and the round track ones are easy. And I'm exactly the opposite. I think the straight track races are much easier. I think the round track is a nightmare in these 20 runner races. I thought Ryan Moore was so good on that horse of Joseph's today. Mm. It was untrue. I thought it was just the perfect Ascot ride, which if you can get that spot, you've got a massive chance. And so for Keels' sake, I'm opening Insanity Insanity or Nighttime Dancer, get that spot. Sort of two off the rail in about third or fourth place on the outside, kicking for home two up. That's where you want to be. If you're not there and they haven't gone lightning fast, you're in trouble. So I find these races really difficult. Opportunity is a horse that I've had on my mind all along, but James Dole's not riding him, and he's in stall one. He likes to come from behind. He's going to need luck. Hopewell Rock just looks like that horse is going to take a step forward, and I really like Warren Holder at York. He pulled a bit hard, but I think he'll enjoy a step up to a mile and a half. I know he's in the Group 2 race at Newmarket in the July meeting. So the Gosling's obviously rate him really highly. He would obviously be owned by the King. He's obviously been set up for this race, so he'd be a chance. But as you said, Emmett's got to have a chance too for Joseph. So not a race. I'm going to do a Keels on this one, and like he did on the last race, and say pass, move on.
Right, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I just literally looked at both the Joseph horses. Emmett ran over 10 furlongs here last year, went 5 wide around every bend and was still coming home at the line and was not put in the race at all. Last time out at the Curragh, ran on really well. Omni Man is the other O'Brien horse. I backed last year in that merchant race, and again, he got stopped in his run at a crucial point, ran an absolute blinder, and since then, bolted up at Glorious Goodwood. He's run in a 100 grand race at Deauville, a listed race, a Group 3 and a listed race. Now he's back down in a handicap back at Royal Ascot, drawn 4 with the yard on fire. So I just looked at it, I thought both the O'Brien horses got massive chances, and I'm tired of not backing them all. So I'm just going to back them all. Just going to keep going.
The problem is he ran 7, didn't he, in the Ascot Stakes. It was quite hard to find the actual winner, wasn't it? I think I would have backed 6 others of his before that one.
Oh, I found that one. To be fair.
No, did you? Good work.
He was my, I've been on it, he was my Fred Winter horse. So I've had on him on side. Didn't bloody run in the race, but don't worry, I'll win next year's county. I'm saying this now, I won't back it. I know I won't back it. Keels will back it. As we discussed last night, Keels will back it in February or something at 33s. I'm saying it now. Kisley Arr wins next year's county. Anyway, let's have a look. As for the rest, big shout out to David in Leeds, by the way, who says, first off, Yorkshire. Secondly, he backed 6 winners at Ascot today. So you should be telling us what you're backing tomorrow, David, to be fair. And as for the rest, don't desert Serengeti, says Jim Stam. Thank you. That's all we needed. Lovely. Moving on then to the Coronation Stakes, the Group 1 for the 3-year-old fillies, where Precise won the Irish guineas. Is 4-7 up against her English guineas conqueror True Love at 3-1. Tooline is 7s. Ballantina is 12s. 33-1 Black Caviar Golden Time for Showcasing. 40-1 Sukanya. 50-1 Moon Target. And Rose Gayath is the outsider of the bunch. Precise was very wildly impressive last time out. Wildly impressive all last year. And we'll win. Right, moving on then to the 5 o'clock at... That's not.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. You know what I mean? She was massively impressive. I might play the forecast with Ballantina.
Yep.
Who won at the Breeders' Cup last year and was third to Venetian Sun in the Albany. It's a long time without a run, but she did do that really well. I don't think True Love can beat her again. I think we've probably seen the best of her. Can understand, you know, why not send them to the same race? But Precise looks to me different class overall.
The only thing I guess that Trudel's got in her favour is, you know, she's an Oné Never. She's won at the meeting last year. So we saw Gestad obviously got a lot closer to Boeke when he came back to Ascot.
Yeah,
he
true, won last year, true, so true.
There is the Ascot factor, possibly.
There is the Ascot factor. Star Spangled Banner must have had some winners there, though, must he?
He's still got a very good record.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got that in favour as well.
He's the only sire to have sired two Coventry winners in his time. Senorita Bonita ran a blinder, Cutter Dash this week. What else? That's about it. Obviously, he doesn't have that many anymore. It's a race. I don't want to put money on it, Tom, because I really want to see Precise Bolt up, because I think she's a bit of a monster.
Yeah, I mean, I she's going to win, isn't she? I mean, I think 4-7 is probably too big. Yeah, I do. I think she should be 1-3, really, because I can't see how True Love can beat her this time. The only thing that I'm staggered about is that they are running True Love. Because if they... Well, it sort of got alarm bells ringing for me. Why run True Love if Precise is just going to win? Why not save her for something else? But maybe they've got, you know... Maybe they obviously didn't want to run her in the Commonwealth Cup. They've got the boys to run in that. But they could have run her in the Jersey or something like that, couldn't they, with a penalty or something like that. So it's interesting that she comes here. That got alarm bells, but I can't believe Precise isn't going to win. Tuline might like this track a bit better, but she's been disappointing. I get Ballantina. Ascot, I hate backing horses first time out. Trawlerman nearly made me look a fool today because he was brilliant off his break. But he might have won if he'd had a run. And I just find that they can be a little bit too keen at Ascot off a break. We saw that with a couple of Ghost Writer and Nala Rain in one of the races earlier in the week. They just were too keen. And they were just, you know, I think maybe it's just tricky to come off the break. And Donica's not the type of trainer that does this. Remember Porta Fortuna coming third or fourth in the Guineas and then going on to be miles the best miling filly of her generation. She beat all the ones that beat her in the Guineas Hollow. I just wonder whether she'll, you know, this is getting her ready maybe for something. So I can't see her. I mean, I think she has the potential to be the second best filly in colour. And whether she's the second best here, I don't know. The rest, I don't think, have got any chance. So Kanye, though, was quite impressive when she beat Tuline in the Fred Darling, what used to be the Fred Darling, the one in the race at Newbury. But she didn't run that in any sort of race in the Irish Guineas really afterwards. So, yeah, listen, Precise is going to win. Simple as.
Yeah. Fair enough. I would say that both in the past, 6 years, Inspiral and Alpine Star have both won this off on season reappearances.
Can be done.
So,
I mean, if that theory about maybe Precise isn't quite at her best, which is why they're running True Love, then you'd give her a shout, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would.
Although, to be fair, the Alpine Star won and was sort of 9-2 in a small field, and Inspiral was 7-4 favourite. So it's a bit different this year. But
she's a proper Group One filly. This Precise, isn't she? She's very good.
And partly, I mean, they run her against they ran them against each other at Newmarket and the Curragh.
Yeah.
So they just
carry on doing it. Yeah.
Maybe they're just, you know, maybe they're just having a nice time. Yeah. Precise and True Love, like, hey, us again, you know.
Travelling companions
keep each other company, and also if something goes wrong with one, you win it with the other. So
maybe they're just pals, Ross.
Exactly.
Good, jolly good pals.
Maybe they're just, it's like going on road trips together. Yeah, Royal Ascot, why not? Let's have a we enjoyed Newmarket, we enjoyed the Curragh. Let's have a day out. Anyway, I'm not gonna say how far. I'm not gonna do that thing. I can't remember what horse you said last year.
It's got beat, didn't it?
Yeah, so I'm not gonna do that, but I do hope Precise will win.
Yeah, I had to leave my Twitter timeline alone for about 2 days.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But I'm sure
look at this clown.
I'm sure they were very forgiving on the internet. Very forgiving out there.
Very much so.
Very forgiving out there. David from Leeds, his best bet tomorrow after all the winners today is Venetian Sun. Oh, I'm sorry, David. got the distance wrong over a mile, cruised over this distance last time out.
I agree with you, David.
There you go. And Philip Cadiz says, true love will always prevail, as the saying goes. That's very sweet of you. But it could turn out to be imprecise tomorrow. The Sandringham next. We go over the straight mile once again. And we have a 9-2 favourite in the shape of Seat. 7-1 Glyfada, Bintaziza is 8-1, Symbol of Majesty 10s, Rosa Inglaser is also 10s, Quiet Mutiny 11s, Darn Hot Gallop, you better hope so from that draw, is 11-1, Crown Right is 14s, and then bigger prices the rest. But you've got two beautifully bred handicapped debutantes taking a chunk out of the market. And I'm going to come to the man on my left first for this one, because am I allowed to say the words you said to me yesterday about this Glyfada?
What? Yeah.
Which you said, I think it's an absolute certainty. Absolute certainty. This. Yeah. And I said, well, in the Sandringham?
Yeah, I said, absolute certainty.
Well, yeah.
He said, it's drawn 31. I said, I'll back it from stall one.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I just really, I was looking for this, looking at her past runs. And
this is Glyfada, by the way.
This is Glyfada. First of all, she's a half sister at Group 2 winner Prague, and she's run three times. She was really promising on a debut, then she stepped up to a mile, 2.5 furlongs and won a maiden pretty easily. But then she dropped back to a mile last time and they went so slowly. And she was held up in fourth and she got knocked wide off the bend and then they quickened up. And I thought she had no chance from there as I was watching it. I knew she'd won, but I thought she can't possibly win. And she ended up winning, going away by a couple of lengths. She was given £4 to the runner-up, has won a 14-runner maiden by 3.5 lengths since and is rated in the mid-80s. The finishing speed was 114% that day. And for a horse that obviously stays pretty well, like, you know, I think she's done remarkably well to do that around a sharp track like Killarney. I think she's going to go very close. I think this is going to be a very top-heavy market in the betting between her and Seat, who is a half-sister to Kalpana. But I love the fact that Ushery Murphy's been booked. Last seven rides for Donica O'Brien, 2-1-2, 1-1-3-5. The fifth was a 355-1 shot in a grade one at Chartin. One of the winners was Port Fortuna in the Cheveley Cup, and the other one was Ballantino at the Breeders' Cup, and he's on her too. I just think everything is in her favour. She's going to run a massive, massive race.
Yeah.
She's got a mark of 91. It wouldn't surprise me if she's at least a stone higher than that by the end of the season.
Okay, fair enough. Glyfada then, 7-1. And after I wrote last week that you want, you know, just stick with the top jocks and Murphy at Ascot, though. He's had a shocker.
He's had a shocker so far.
That's exactly like, what
but
I
it can change,
say.
Can't it?
He's got He got trapped in a pocket on Moreira. He hit the front too soon on Asfora. Gamrai got arguably slightly outbattled. I thought Gallian, I was watching Gallian, were you three wide? Get some cover, man.
Friendly Soul
was given a little bit too much to do.
Friendly
Caballo
Soul's
de Mar,
one of the
I thought,
worst rides I've ever seen, Ross.
Yeah, Caballo de Mar, I thought, I was thinking, what, you're getting into a bat, and he got bullied by Ryan on Scandinavia, and then he's finished last and 17th in the last three races today. But that's as soon as you start pointing something like that out, Tom, I don't know who the hell John is, then jockeys like Ushery go and ride a four-timer, don't they?
Well, I hope you're right, because to me he's a £7 penalty at the moment, Ushery, Ascot this week. I think I don't know whether he's not in the right frame of mind mentally, but this is as bad as I've seen him for a few weeks. I'm hoping that he gets it right as well today, because he's an absolutely fantastic jockey. One of the best I've seen, really. I think he's absolutely brilliant, and I think he's been riding better this season than I've ever seen him. But I don't know what's happened this week. But he seems to have been Well, listen, it might not be his fault. Things might just be going wrong that are out of his control. But every move he's made has gone the wrong way. I'm hoping, for Kiehl's sake, that Glyfada gets the run of the race, because she is a Camelot filly, and if they all come to this side, which I don't think they're going to do, because I'm used to this race and they don't do it, then she'll need a bit of luck. But as we've seen so many times, it doesn't really matter, because you get a bit, if you're on the best horse with a bit of speed, as Kiehl's pointed out, she will get the run of the race. So she's got a really good chance. The one I liked a bit was Bintaziza, just because I just liked her run at Thirsk. Mm-hmm. I thought she was really, really good the first two runs on the all-weather. And then at Thirsk last time, literally everything that could go wrong did go wrong. She still finished off well. I love Roger Varian in handicaps at Ascot. Indalo was desperately unlucky, wasn't he, earlier? Al Azd, or whatever it was called, was looked like he was coming to win and didn't. You know, he's just really, really good at this type of race. I could see her going well. So my three, funnily enough, were Glyphalda, Bintaziza, and at a big price, Ed Walker's filly. Passing Thought? Something like that. Anyway. Who was drawn high as well, but Ed Walker's won this twice in the last few years. He won it last year with a filly that he said was going to be a listed horse. He said at the start of the season, this was a listed horse. Passing Thought, yeah. And I just wondered if she might go well from track 28 as well. Luke Morris rides, which is quite unusual. He used to ride a lot for Ed Walker, but Kieran Schumacher can't do the weight, so that sort of makes up for that. And she's definitely going to stay. She's definitely going to improve for an extra furlong. He tried her in listed company last year, and it was soft ground at Newbury, and she didn't like it. And I just think she's going to run well at a big price. She's not a massive price now, but I'm hoping for Asheen and Keels' sake that Glyphada wins.
All right, there you go. Glyphada then, about 7-1, and a few from Tom against the field. I thought this was really tough. I was interested in two, one at the top of the weights and one at the bottom slightly. I do think Mubasima is better than she's shown. I don't. There was an interview with my brain's called Anne Marie Bald. Is Anne Marie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Annalisa, wasn't it?
My brain's completely gone now. But it's before Mubasima ran at Newmarket, and she's kind of. I got the impression they were saying everything. You know, basically saying she'll need the run. There was a very she'll need the run vibe, and she looked like she needed the run. She got outpaced. She just looked a bit green and a bit like in need of the first run, and stayed on quite nicely. Then she's run in the Guineas and then gone over to Shanty for a Group Two last time out. She makes a handicap debut. There's definitely more to come from her, but she's got a big weight. And then the other one, right down the bottom. I don't know the Crown Right again. You're looking at breeding again. You know, Frankel filly, Rafe Beckett, big race like this. She just looks to be learning on the job. She's 4 lengths behind Abashiri at Kempton last year. She was only 2 lengths behind So Regal, beaten at short price last time at Leicester, but the speed figure was much better than it should have been for that grade. So one from the top, one from the bottom, as it were, on countdown. So there you go. Let's have a look in the chat before we move on. Green Carrera up the rail for King of Moreland. Bintaziza has that all-weather form, which, as we know, is good at Ascot since they relayed the track. And that's about it. Moving on, penultimate race of the day then, the King Edward VII Stakes. Every monarch gets a race. And Water to Wine is 11-10. Causeway, 15-8. Golden Story, 8s. Ancient Egypt is 10s. Venetian Prince, 16s. And 33's Echo Stars. Smallish field of the week. And Water to Wines looks very impressive. Not trained by Joseph O'Brien, though.
Absolutely not trained by Joseph O'Brien.
But you were saying about...
Water to Wine, known as Baby Jesus.
Yeah, you could assume it was. Uh-huh. I'm going to come to you first, Tom, for this one, because I was saying to Keels before, the favourites look very good. But so is the second favourite. And I think this is a cracking little matchup.
Yeah, so do I. I'm really looking forward to this race. I'm a Causeway man myself. I'm a Causeway's man. I'd much rather... Listen, I like Kingman as a sire. He's sired some brilliant horses, but they're a dodgy bunch, some of them. And whether he's tough enough to get past Causeway, I don't know. I hope he does, because I think people in the Racing Post have been saying he might be the best three-year-old of his generation, staying three-year-old in Britain. And he would have maybe beaten up the Derby horses. There is that possibility, but he's got to do it. He's got to do it. He's only won... I mean, I know Alderman, who was second to him at Newbury, went and ran so well in the Derby, and he has looked very good. But this Causeway is as tough as old boots, isn't he? He's a bit, you know, Scandinavia in the Gold Cup. He keeps just winning, didn't he? Before, well, he just wins.
Yep.
He's never very impressive. He always just wins, and Causeway is exactly the same. He just wins, and so I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for Water of Wine on only his third run to beat Causeway. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a great matchup. I really can't see anything else getting involved. So it would. I don't know. I think I'd side with Causeway, but I want Water to Wine to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ancient Egypt could run well. I mean, God knows what a mile and a half in soft ground at Epsom was never going to suit him. And he's looked very, very good when he's managed to get into a rhythm. This small field might help him, to be fair. But yeah, this causeway again, yeah. He wins in good times, looking unimpressive, which I think is quite a nice combination because you never quite know how good they are.
No, absolutely. And like you said, they keep on winning. I have sort of fallen for the Waters of Wine is, a miracle maker.
Well, as we were saying yesterday, you're having a late in life religious conversion, aren't you?
Absolutely, again. It's one again. I am fascinated, but I've got zero interest in having a bet on it on the race.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated to watch it. Like Tom says, I hope Waters of Wine does prove to be really, really good. And you've got a British colt that can go and take on the best of the Irish later in the season.
Okay, there you go. Let's move on to the last race at Royal Ascot on the Friday at the Palace of Holyrood House. 3-year-olds over 5 furlongs, and there's hundreds of them. Gold Digger is 15-2 favourite. Westport 9s, Dickensian 10s, Sirius A 11s, Muji 14s, Bacchio 14s, Sandal Songs 14s, Jazzle 14s, etc., etc., etc. A very fast 5 furlongs, a very fast ground. So 60 seconds, Sprint King, Tom Siegel, Palace of Holyrood House.
Didn't know where to start. Big fan of Richard Spencer in sprints. Won the Stewards Cup, the Air Gold Cup, the Air Silver Cup, the boat race, whatever he wins that's over 6 furlongs, he wins it. And sprint trips. I gather Gold Digger's working really well with some of his best older handicap sprinters. She'll do for me, but you could make a case for loads. And she's drawn in 10, and it could easily be up the high side. The other one, I mean, when I did my Cheltenham Ultimate Cheltenham preview, which we all did, I said Jazzle is a horse to watch out for, and I still think Jazzle is a horse to watch out for. So he's by no name never had a brilliant record at Ascot already this week. So those were my two, Gold Digger and Jazzle.
All right, lovely stuff. And one of those you agree with?
Yeah, one of those I agree with. I was studying this race. I ended up bringing it down to a short list of two, and then I looked at the trainers and realised they had the first and second between them last year as well. That was Simon and Ed Chriswood, who had Adrestia. They're responsible for Jazzle, who, since he's been gelded, has looked very, very good. Very, very, very good sprint handicapper. He won his maiden very easily at Windsor. Then he bolted up almost as easily at Leicester by 2.5 lengths, and that race has worked out really, really well. The third has won since. The third one very easily since the fourth or fifth, can't remember, fourth, fifth. First Legion, so look,
which race are we talking about here?
Remind me, sorry.
No, seriously, which race?
The Jazzle race at Leicester. The fourth finished, was beaten 6 lengths, only beaten 3 lengths by Thunder Call in the big 6-mile-long handicap at York the other day. So that form's worked out really well. He has got stall 5, which we've got to worry about, I suppose. But like you said, no, never. I mean, he'd had 10 straight track winners at Royal Ascot? Two this week already, 4 last year.
Yeah.
He's just got the right profile for the race if the draw doesn't beat him. And Dickensian, top weight. I know he's got top weight, but he ran loads of great races in good 5 furlong races last year, including the Windsor Castle, in which he was second. Third in the Malcolm, third in the Listed Race at York, third in the Flying Childers. And he did all of that while being really keen a lot of the time. Yeah. And on his return at York, he flopped out the stalls. He was held up last, still last with 1.5 furlongs to go, and he came through and he beat a lot. I was quite impressed with him there. He went up £4 for that. He's got, it's a fair ask to do it off a mark of 104, but the trainer was talking about sticking him in the July Cup afterwards. Didn't do so, but it still tells you that he's really well regarded, and I just like the way he went about it. So, yeah, those are my two in what is obviously an incredibly hard race.
It is an incredibly hard race, but yeah, good points. Good points made. And yeah, look at that Jazzle race. What I like is every horse out of that has improved their RPR by at least 5 or 6 pounds.
I love looking at it. I love it when that happens.
Yeah, because everyone looks at it and thinks, well, there's only been one winner out of it, but everything has...
Yeah, everything's run better, so you can upgrade that form even more.
I had Westport marked off this for ages, but he's drawn in 3, so I just can't back him, can I? Just can't back him.
Well, you can wait and see what happens on the first. You've got a few.
Yeah, that's
true. A few races to keep an eye on first, haven't you?
Yeah.
If you can't back him, then you can't back Jazzle either.
Yeah, but I haven't. But I know what you mean. But I haven't marked them. I've just had Westport. I was just like, this is the race for him, I know. Two high draw ones. I did think that Mike won slightly better than their prices would suggest. There's been six runnings of this race, and five of them have gone to horses who've at least run over six furlongs, and four of those horses had won over six furlongs. So I think a bit of extra stamina helps. Ten Carat Harry, I thought was really interesting, drawn 28. He's just running some absolutely blinding races. He had a really good time at Newmarket. And Sovereign Spell, who was also in that 10 Carat Harry race and won a good race.
Yeah, 10 Carat Harry obviously has some plenty of straight form course form at Newcastle as well, doesn't
it? And they both done fantastic times in really strong handicaps, and because they were beaten on the last two starts, they're 40-1 and 28-1 respectively, and they're drawn 28 and 27, which seems a bit deft. All right, right, very quickly, because someone complained about it last night, let's...
What, we're going on too long?
No, they just... They said that at times we made cases of horses and they were like, they missed what the horse we were making. So let's have a quick recap like we did at Charles.
Right.
So very shortly,
Very quickly, let's go.
So see you later, bye. Albany Stakes.
I can't remember what the horses are called now. Albany Stakes, I thought the favourite would probably win that. Sun Goddess, I may have a little each-way bet on... I can't remember the name of that either. Hang on, see, I've got to go back and look.
Libertango, Dark Issue, King's Prize.
Libertango was the one. Libertango was the one, yeah.
Yeah, all right, okay. And Tom, very quicker?
Johnny Vett.
That's all right. Okay, fair enough. And the Commonwealth Cup, you thought the favourite...
Favourite will win. I think Havana Anna might be the each-way play.
Tom?
Mangan. Nap.
All right, OK, there you go. I thought Samangan and Amanda Hurricane would run well. The mile and a half handicap, you've backed two.
Insanity and Nighttime Dancer, I remembered them.
OK, Joseph O'Brien, that means he's properly backed them. And the Joseph O'Brien horses, that both of them for me. Tom?
No clue. Leave that one to pass.
Lovely stuff. I think Precise will win the Coronation.
So do I. Only danger is Ballantina in my eyes.
Tom?
Precise will win. There is no danger.
The Sandringham over the straight mile.
That's Glyphada.
Glyphada, there you go. Tom?
Bint Aziza, or whatever it's called.
Bint Aziza, and I've got Mubasima and Crown Right. King Ingmar VII, Causeway.
The other one, Waterwine.
Waterwine. And the Palace of Holyrood House, you've gone for Dickensian.
Dickensian and...
Jazzle. Yeah, and Tom?
Gold Digger and Jazzle.
All right, lovely stuff. And I thought Westport would win it. Then I'm going to back 10 Carat Harry and Sovereign Spell from High Draws as well. Right, and to wrap it up, you've already teased it, Tom. I say tease it, you've told us what it is. What's the nap tomorrow?
Samangan for me, Ross, in the Commonwealth Cup. Nice big prize.
All right, Samangan in the Commonwealth Cup.
See, there you go. I'm going to get stick now. The racing post will put up an absolute certainty because you said it. It's gone out there.
Well, that's why I said...
I'm going to have to turn my Twitter off now.
I know, we need to learn from it. I know. The social media, they're out there waiting. He's still in a win. Right. Bang!
My nap is Glyphada. I think it's got a small each way chance.
A slight squeak. I mean, my nap's I just think Causeway will win. I really, really like him. I think he's a gritty so-and-so. So, yeah, let's go for that. Right. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Keels. Thanks, everyone. See you tomorrow night. Enjoy Friday at Royal Ascot.